the gates of hell. Matthew 16:18 says, "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, or Cephas, which means a small stone. And upon this rock," Jesus then speaking about himself, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Aren't you glad? The church has a different destiny than any other group. The church is not appointed to wrath. We are not going to go through the judgment that's coming upon this planet. Amen. If you are in the bride of Christ, you are not appointed to wrath. Amen. Now, that doesn't mean we're not going to go through some tribulation, because as I said last time, if you're a son of God, Satan's going to come and ask you the question. Are you really? Are you a son of God? Your sonship is going to be tested. He's going to test you. Well, God didn't heed you right away. What do you think about that? I told him that you're a liar. I don't care what you say, my God is good. He loves me. And if I didn't get a miraculous instant healing, he still loves me. He is still good. I'm still doing better than I deserve. Amen. God is a good God. It didn't matter if I was in pain. I don't care what the devil was trying to tell me. And one of the things the Lord spoke to me last night was about our weapons. Next month we're going to be dealing with spiritual warfare, because we're in a fight. And the Lord revealed to me what the... And it's so obvious, really. It's really not even a revelation, but yet it is a revelation. What is the devil's weapon? How is Satan going to fight? How does he fight? And I don't want you to give me the answer. I want you to think about it, because it's very obvious what his weapon is. And it's very obvious what our weapon is, too. Amen. But this scripture tells us in Matthew 16:18 that the gates of hell shall not prevail. Shall not prevail. Amen. Jesus came for a purpose.
Yes.
He came knowing why he was upon this planet.
Yeah.
In John 18:31, when he was before Pilate, we read this story. It says, Then said Pilate unto them, "Take ye him and judge him according to your law." The Jews had brought Jesus to Pilate because they didn't want to put him to death. They didn't want his blood upon their hands. But Pilate said, "Listen, why you brought him to me? Why don't you do it according to your law?" The Jews therefore said unto him, "It is not lawful for us to put any man to death." You know what they're admitting? They really didn't have a case. Because under the law, you could put someone to death if you really had a case. So they're saying it was not lawful for us to put any man to death. Now, I've highlighted verse 33 because you probably read it and missed something here. It says when they said that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled which he spake, signifying what death he should die. When they said that to Pilate, this was actually a fulfillment. This was an actual fulfillment of something Jesus had said previously. We'll get to what it is he said. I'll read up. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, called Jesus, and said unto him, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, "Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or either others tell it thee of me?" A few weeks ago, we just passed Passover, right?
Yeah.
What's the next feast? No, Passover. Every next day is unleavened bread. 2 days later is Feast of First Fruits. All those three happen all in the same month of Nisan. Now we have a little gap. When's the next feast? What is it called? Pentecost. We're in the gap between Passover and Pentecost. I thought about that. I said, I gave you the name of the month, the Jewish name of the month. Anyone remember the name of the month? Sivan. And what does Sivan mean? Very good. The covering. He gave the Holy Spirit in the month that is called the covering. Why is this important? Especially this year. to know when the day of Pentecost is this year. Possibly. He might come. He might come. The day of Pentecost was, a little bit off the subject, this is what I feel to say, was the one feast where the date was not set. How were they to know the day? What were they told to do? Say it loud. Count. They were to start counting. Counting down the days. Start counting. On the day after tomorrow of the Sabbath, number seven sevens. What did I say seven means? What does seven represent? What did I just say? An oath, a covenant. So when it's multiplied, when it's doubled, seven sevens, God is signifying something. He's saying, this is my covenant, and I'm never going to break it. Count. Seven sevens. And then on the morrow after the seventh, 49 days, that will be Shavuot, which means the week of weeks. We call it Pentecost. It was the birthday of the church. Today, it's always a fixed date, but that's not how God told him to do it. The Jews today celebrate it on the sixth day of the month, Sivan. But that's not how they were told to do it. They were to count, showing that it wasn't a fixed day. Does anyone get where I'm going? You won't know the day or the hour. I'm going to get back to that. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall, saying, and called Jesus, and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? Jesus answered to him, saying, Thou sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? What hast thou done? Verse 36 is why I put this whole part in here. Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. And really there's an unspoken word there. And the unspoken word was, could be one of two words, yet or now. He says, My kingdom is not of this world. And you can either put yet or now, because we know in Revelation 12, the angel says, The kingdoms of this world hath become the kingdoms of our Lord. We're waiting for that day. So when Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world, he only meant right now it's not. Then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom. And you see what he said, now. Now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born. We're talking about the meaning of the cross. All of the things Jesus did were for a purpose. And it was to fulfill all of the prophecies and God's plan of redemption. Thou sayest I'm a king, to this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world. I was listening to a Bible teacher, I think it was yesterday, and he said everybody has a purpose. Everybody is born for a reason. Everybody, God created you the way you are, or with the gifts you have, for his glory. There was a purpose in why you are the way you are. Most of us are unhappy because we're not fulfilling our purpose, or we don't know it, or we have not come into it, and we have not sought God to say, God, find my purpose. What is it you wanted me to do? I was telling somebody else that from a child, I felt that God had a purpose in some of the things that I chose to do. Not that I wanted to do them, but
I felt that this was what I was supposed to do. There were some special skills that God wanted me to acquire. And I'm hoping that I'm wrong. I can't explain it to you. I can't explain it to you. But someone was asking me if I knew how to shoot a gun. And I said, well, yes, I was in the equivalent of the RA of your ROTC in England. And we trained with weapons. And actually, I was a pretty good shot. I got a marksman badge. I know how to fire NATO rounds, you know, 0.5, whatever it is. Of course, it's been a while, but I bet you I still could hit what I aimed for. Now, the strange thing was, the reason why I joined that, and I know this is going to sound weird, is I felt that God wanted me to do that. Now, I hope it's not for what I'm thinking is coming around. But I'm telling you all of this is that you were born for a purpose. Jesus came for a purpose. He says, for this cause came I into the world. Now, I'm going to go back to verse 32. When they said, we can't kill him, that was actually a fulfillment of a prophecy that Jesus had just said. And it's in more than one scripture. I'm going to give you this scripture. It's in Mark 10, 33, saying, behold, we go up to Jerusalem. This is Jesus. And the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes. And they shall condemn him to death. But they're not going to kill him. They're going to what? Deliver him to the Gentiles. This whole thing, God had already had it all orchestrated, was all going according to plan. When you submit totally to God's will, even if it's a cross, it's in God's plan. Do you understand what I'm saying? This was not a surprise to Jesus. He had already said how this was going to work out. He had told his disciples, but it had gone in one ear and come out the other. He said, I'm going to Jerusalem. They're going to condemn me to death, but they're not going to kill me. They're going to turn me over to the Romans to kill me because they can't, because I've actually done nothing wrong. Do you see how that fulfillment literally came to be? Jesus told them, saying, behold, we go to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death and shall deliver him to the Gentiles, the Romans. Jesus came to be the atonement, the covering. And without the covering, we can't make it. And unless you have the covering applied, you cannot make it. It goes all the way back to the Old Testament, to what I had taught about 3 weeks ago, which I said was the most important of the seven Jewish feasts, which was the Feast of Atonement. And this was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Leviticus 16:21, and Aaron shall choose two goats, one kid of the goat, from the goats, two of them, and he would bring one and he would lay his hand upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions in all. That was literally fulfilled when the high priest was forced by the Holy Spirit, said it was better that this man should die for the sins of the nation, then the whole nation perish. He was fulfilling this prophetic symbol. Not only that, in Isaiah 53, it says, it pleased God that he should bruise him and that he should bear our sins. This is the meaning of the cross that God placed upon the man, the human flesh, the body, our sins. Confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions in all. In this picture, you can't see it too well, but everybody else is laying prostrate because they knew this was their day of forgiveness. This was their day of covering. John 11:50, this is where this was fulfilled. The high priest Caiaphas said, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people and that the whole nation perish not. The Holy Spirit forced him to do this to fulfill the scripture. And this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation. Aren't you glad that Jesus came to be the atonement? And if we will, through faith, receive that atonement, we are covered. You see, he said, I came to be the sin offering. In John 3:14, he said this, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. You know the story? As they were going into the wilderness, the people were always complaining. No matter what miracle God did, they found some other reason to complain. I pray none of us are like that. Because we can look back and look at all the deliverances and the miracles God has done. The miracles that even this church is here. That's a miracle. When I start to think about all the little things God did to make this church still be here. Amen. We should be so grateful. You may not have a penny, but you can be thankful. Amen. You may not have a job, but you can be thankful. The people started to complain and murmur. You brought us out into this wilderness to die. Where are you taking us, Moses? And God was very upset with this. He allowed poisonous snakes to bite them. And thousands of them started to die. But even in that, God gave them a way of escape. He told Moses, I want you to make a graven image. You know that this broke the law? Because God had said in the law, don't make any graven image. God broke his law in order to bring deliverance. He told Moses, make a brazen snake and put it on a pole. Let the people know. But if you will look to the object of your sin, you will be delivered. You know, I bet there were people who wouldn't look. I bet there were people who didn't believe. Jesus said that represented him. He became the object of our sin. This was the meaning of the cross. And as Moses lifted up the serpent, he was prophesying about his death, that he would become the object that would take our sins. Even so, the Son of Man be lifted up. Now, he references that again in verse 15. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Everyone knows the next verse? What's the next verse? For God so loved the world that he gave. That's the next verse. He came to be the substitute. He became the serpent, the object of our sins. Everybody in the Old Testament that looked, all they had to do was believe and look and acknowledge, and they were healed. I bet you there were still people who refused to look. Now, in John 12:32, he goes over it and he tells us something more. If I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all. Now, I've told you before, in the King James, when you see italics, it means it's not in the Hebrew. They just put that there because the translators believe that's what it meant. So if we just read exactly what the Hebrew says, this is how it goes. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all. He actually, I don't believe, was speaking about men. Because remember what that represented, the snake. It was judgment. What he was saying, the reason I'm going to be crucified is I'm going to draw all your judgment. All the curse that would be upon you. All of the curses that are in the law. All of the condemnation. All of the sicknesses. I'm going to draw all of that to me. If I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all. But yet today there are people who refuse to look to Jesus. The Bible says, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. They will look to friends. They will look to family. They will look to their horoscope. They will look to the newspaper. They will look to their job. And not look to the one who has said, I can draw all the judgment. Because in this chapter, he's saying, now is this world judged. What people don't realize, and I've taught before, that if Jesus didn't do what he was going to do when he came, this earth was going to be judged right then. But the earth was saved from judgment because of this verse. If I be lifted up from this earth, will draw all. He wasn't just speaking men. He was speaking of the judgment that was due to this planet. Because they had broken the everlasting covenant. They had broken all of God's laws. But because, just like the serpent in the wilderness, he was lifted up. This is the meaning of the cross. He was our covering. He was our redemption. He was our atonement. And as I've taught, and I'm going to go over this again because we learn through repetition, the reason for the two goats was because they're two parts. We're a body and soul. We were a body, soul, and spirit. Adam was a three-part being. But when he sinned, God told him, the day that thou eatest thereof of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt surely die. And what died immediately was the spirit covering. So no longer was he a son of God. He was just a son of man. Instead of being a soul in a body covered by God's spirit, we just became a body and soul. But God's love and God's plan of redemption for his children was so great that he was willing to come himself and take the judgment. So a son of man is just a body and soul. The atonement ceremony represents the time of our death, which is the only time our soul gets separated from our body. And the atonement ceremony represents the death of the old man. Now, our atonement ceremony happens in the baptismal tank. When we go down in the name of Jesus, the Bible says, if we are buried in the likeness of his death, we shall rise in the likeness of his resurrection. And that's what that means. It means that our old person that we were symbolically by faith is dead. Paul says that the life I now live, I live in Christ. Yes, physically you still see me, but by faith, it's not me that God sees. I'm covered. If he was looking at me, I wouldn't be able to come into his presence. Amen. None of us can come into his presence. But Hebrews 4:16 says we can come boldly. You don't have to hesitate. You can come boldly because you are covered. Boldly to a throne of grace to obtain mercy. To obtain mercy. So the atonement ceremony in the Old Testament represented God's plan of taking the soul and putting it in a new body. The old body is where all the sins remained. That's why he laid hands on the goat and it was sent way out the camp into the desert to die, to turn into dust, to give it back to the one who owned it, which was Satan. See, this body, Paul said in Romans, can never be redeemed. It's enmity with God. That's why he said in Romans 7, the inner man, I serve God. In this outer man, sometimes I may do the wrong thing. I may say the wrong thing. But you know what? The Bible says, reckon yourself to be dead. Reckon yourself to be dead. God already knows how you are. Did you know that? You're not surprising him. You're not hiding anything from him. He already knows how you are. He said it in Genesis 8. He said, for man's heart is evil continually from his youth. From his youth. If God was going to kill us every time we sinned, we'd all be dead. But you know what? Through the blood, through the atonement, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'm going to draw all of that to me. All of that judgment, all of that condemnation, all of that sin, I'm going to draw it away from you. You're going to go away scot-free. Amen. Hebrews 4:12. You see, it's only the Spirit that can separate. So when we die, This body is what contains the sin. Our soul is set free and is free of the sin. And when we do that symbolically by baptism, a lot of people say baptism is just a symbol. Oh, no, it's not. It serves a purpose. In Acts 2:38, it says, for the remission of sins. So if you don't do it, you're carrying around stuff you don't need to. And if you don't do it properly, you're carrying around stuff you don't need to. It's for the remission of sins. When you go down in that pool, God counts your physical body as dead. Bible says you were dead in trespasses and sins. And he counts that you are dead. You know, let me give you a revelation. See if you can get it. Your soul is sealed by the Holy Spirit. It's your body that contains all the sins. You understand that? Now, when your body dies, your soul is released. Where are the sins? It's with the body. So that means your soul is perfect. Do you get it? We do it. We don't wait till that part happens. We do it right away when we go down in that pool. Do you get it? So God is already counting this body as dead. And he's counting everything that's happening with that body as no good and dead. As long as you have faith in his cross. As long as you are lifting him up. He's drawing all of that stuff to him. You see, when we kill this body by baptism, we are associating it with his body, death. And upon his head, the high priest declared the sins of the nation. And so, either you go die by the way of the flesh and your soul still escapes and it's perfect, it's been sealed. Or when Jesus comes, it happens right then. The Bible says that we shall be changed. In an instant, in a moment of time, in a twinkling, this mortal, this corruption is going to dissolve and we get a new body. And it's perfect. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, this body, this flesh is sinful. And that's why it's going to die. And that's why it has to die. That's why God kicked it out of the garden, said, lest they stretch forth their hand and live forever. Then we would be trapped truly with a soul inside a terrible body. I know it's a terrible body because it's hurting me. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Any of you who would like to get a new body, you can have. You know, Satan is trying to duplicate what God has already got worked out. They're planning to do head transplants. Can you believe that? They've already done face transplants. And they're planning to do head transplants. Take someone's head and put it on. But, you know, that's going to be a terrible way because it's really another corrupted body. But when God does it, it's a new body. It's a glorified body. Amen. I got to hurry. All of the people before Jesus died, they looked forward to this promise. They didn't understand it all, but they received the promise. And this is so wonderful. In Hebrews 11, verse 13, these all died in faith. In Hebrews, it lays out some of the things that happened. Some were sawn asunder. It's believed that Isaiah was sawn in half. And through history, there have been people who have stood on their faith, willing to die. Before Jesus came, the Bible says these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. Coming up very shortly is the day of our promise. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, there came a sound as of a mighty rushing wind. This is what all these people, thousands of righteous people who had died before, did not receive. at the time they died. But they believed in faith, looking forward. But having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers. Listen, if you're enjoying this earth, something wrong. You can't love the world and love God. And a lot of the things that we go through is God making us uncomfortable. If you studied how an eagle builds a nest, when they're building a nest, they get all the thorns and prickly stuff and they put that underneath and they get some horrible pieces of sharp stuff and they build it at the bottom of the nest. Then they put softer stuff and finally they put down on everything. And after a while, the eaglets hatch. And after they've been fed a while and there's time for them to start getting ready to start flying, you know what the mother eagle does? She stirs up the nest. She takes away all the nice, comfortable stuff. And you know what's underneath it? It gets uncomfortable. It gets very uncomfortable. The eagles don't want to be there anymore. If you've been feeling uncomfortable, you know what's happening? God is stirring up the nest. You know why? It's soon time for us to fly. He's stirring up the nest. Hebrews 9:15, and for this cause, he is the mediator of a new testament, a new will, a new covenant, that by means of death, his death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first covenant, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Now, I don't know when the rapture will be, but I think it'll be on one of the feast days. And my guess would be either Pentecost or Feast of Trumpets. And it could be either. I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if it was Pentecost because that was the birth of the church. I wouldn't be surprised if it was Pentecost because Jesus said this. He said, you say there are yet 4 months to the harvest. Remember, there were three harvest festivals. There was the first fruits in Nisan. Pentecost was a harvest festival. And then the last one was Tabernacles. Well, from Pentecost to Tabernacles is 4 months. And Jesus made this little hint. He said, you say there are 4 months left to the harvest. But I say the fields are white and ready to harvest. I want you to understand that Jesus is coming. And there is no need to miss it. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all the condemnation. I will draw all the sin. See, this body is filled with all kinds of stuff, lusts and all kinds of filthiness. But God has already, it's actually dead. Do you understand that? If you have been baptized in his name, it's dead. God is not even looking at it. He's looking at your soul. Do you understand what he's looking at? He's looking at your soul. Because he doesn't care about this body as much as we care about it. It's temporary. It's going to go. Paul said that if this tabernacle should dissolve, we have a house not made with hands. Jesus said, listen, John 14, don't fear. I'm going away. In my Father's house are many mansions. I'm going to go to prepare you one. Amen. See, everybody that died before Jesus came went to the place of the grave. And originally it wasn't created for us. The Bible says it was created for the devil. That's why you don't see it in Genesis. Because at the end of Genesis, at the sixth day in Genesis 1:31, God says everything was what? Very good. There was no hell. There was no diseases. There was no sickness. But it happened when Satan rebelled. It was created for the devil and his angels. In Matthew 25:41, then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, cursed into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Jesus told the parable of the man who was in the wedding feast without the covering. And that's a surprise because he said, friend, how did you get in here without a covering? Because everybody gets a free one and you don't have yours on. It's not like, you know, today when we stand up in a wedding, you usually buy your own tux. In those days, a wedding was much more expensive. They had to provide the tux for you. Every guest was provided a garment. So you had no excuse to come to the wedding and not have the garment on because it was free. All you had to do was wear it. Jesus in the parable said, friend, how did you get into this wedding without the garment? Paul says, we will be without excuse, O man. There won't be no excuse telling God, well, this and that and this. Especially us, there won't be no excuse. We won't have no excuse. What are we going to tell God? Well, I wasn't quite ready, God, because someone upset my feelings at church. I didn't like the pastor's tone. He never called on me to testify. They're all about money, that church. What will we tell God? What will we say when we stand before him? Because the Bible says we must all appear before the judgment seat to give an account. We're going to have to give an account. Especially people in this church, because we have certainly heard truth. Isaiah 5:14 says, therefore, see, hell was created only for the devil, but because of man, look what Isaiah 5:14 says, therefore hell hath enlarged itself and hope opened her mouth without measure. Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered the world and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. That's why Jesus had to come and he had to give us a new body, because there's no way we could be good. Paul said in Romans, when I want to do good, sin presents itself, and that the good that I would do, I don't do. I get up every morning saying, I'm going to be perfect. I'm going to pray. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm not going to get upset. I'm not going to think any thoughts. That's why the Bible says, reckon this body dead. Because if you understood really what I was trying, God is looking at this body as dead. If you buried it and didn't go back to the cemetery and start digging it up. Because some people go and they're grave robbers. They go digging back the old man up. That's terrible. What would you think of someone who went to a grave and started digging up a body? But you know, that's what some of us do. We go and dig back up our old man after we have been baptized. Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. Don't go back to the old man. If we will in faith look to him, he said, if I be lifted up. All those people who had been bitten by the snake, who were going to die, all they had to do, God told Moses, just make a brazen serpent and tell them, how much easier could it have been? They didn't even have to bring an offering. They didn't have to kill anything. All he said, if they will look. Bible says, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. For all that have sinned. There is no righteous people. You know, people say, why do bad things happen to good people? According to God, there are no good people. Case closed. Finished. He doesn't have to answer to that question, because there are no good people. In our measurement, we say people are good, but not according to God's measurement. He said, if you just look at a woman to lust, you've already committed adultery. And most of us in here, if we're honest, we're already murderers. Come on now. Somebody got on your last nerve. Somebody got on your last nerve, and if you had God-like powers and would never be caught, you'd go, psh. They'd be gone. They'd be a pile of dust. Wouldn't they? Come on, let's admit it. There'd been some people. There's some people in your life that if you could have gotten away with it and knew you could have gotten away with it, and if you could just go, psh, and they would be gone, they'd be gone. The world would be a much emptier place if we had God-like powers. See, that's why the Bible says all have sinned. All have sinned. All have sinned. All have sinned. The serpent bit them. All they had to do was look at the object of their sin that God had taken away. If I be lifted up. This is the meaning of the cross. This is the meaning of the cross. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. People still died before God put it, Moses wrote it down. But when you put these two scriptures together, I call it the grace equation. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned. After you didn't eat the apple or pomegranate or whatever it is, but there's other things you did. You know, we would always, when the teacher caught us, he said, but I didn't do what he did. You ever got beaten for something you didn't do? But on the other hand, you got away with a lot of things you should have gotten whooped for. From Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. You see, no naked soul can enter heaven because we need a covering. Revelation 3:17. We're in this age right now, the Laodicean church. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not thou that art wretched. See, most people, if you ask them if they're going to heaven, they say, yeah, I'm good. Yeah, I'm okay. I go to church. I pay my tithes and offering. I pat dogs and I lift up little babies and kiss them. I'm all right. This is what the Bible says. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. I don't need any more preaching. I don't need any more scripture. I don't need any more praying. I don't need any more fasting. Thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and worst of all, naked. You see, we try and cover this flesh thinking we're going to take it with us. Isaiah 30 verse 1 says, woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel but not of me, and that cover with a covering. You see, the only covering that's going to save us is God's Spirit. There is no other substitute. There's no good works. There's no friends. There's no government. There's no job. There's only one covering that can make your soul perfect. Cover with a covering, but not of my Spirit, that they may add sin to sin. Ephesians 4:30 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. I'm not going to be able to finish this, but the covering in the Old Testament was the blood, because the Holy Spirit had not yet been given. So God allowed a blood sacrifice, and that was the purpose of the blood, as I've taught Leviticus 17:11. And Tuesday night, I'm going to be teaching about this. Because anything God does, Satan tries to use it. Leviticus 17:11, for the life of the flesh, and in the Hebrew it's nephesh, it really says the soul of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement. Kafar in the Hebrew means a covering for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh atonement. See, the only thing God is really, really interested in is your soul. That's why he said it's better to go into heaven with one eye, one leg, one arm. Because that's not important. I know to us it's important. I'm not saying it's not important to us. But to God, he's already said this body is dead. I've got a new body for you. Don't you guys get it? If you believe, you'll understand that he's got a new body for you. You're going to look so good. You won't need no hair dye. You're going to glow. You're going to be covered with the Shekinah glory. You're going to have the rainbows all around you. It's going to be clothing that Givenchy can't make. Chanel can't perfume. Amen. I'm telling you, he says that I have not seen nor ear heard what God has got prepared for them that love him. See, but you see, we are looking with such natural eyes. If God could open our spiritual eyes and we could see what he has prepared. you know, Jesus tried to teach us with about the parable of the man who sold everything he had because he realized what was in the field was much more better than what he... You see, we look at what we have and we think, I'm going to hold on to that. If you don't understand, God said, what will a man give in exchange? Not for his body or his life, but his soul. You see, Satan has tried to use the fact that God in the Old Testament gave blood as a covering. This explains, I'll be teaching this Tuesday night, about images. Why they sacrificed to images. You know what they sacrificed mostly? Young babies to images. Because they were trying to make the image come to life by offering a blood covering. I'll teach on that Tuesday night. I'm going to have to rush to finish it. But you see, we are covered by his blood. Amen. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. You see, the Bible says he came not just by blood, but blood and water. That's why the baptism is important. It's not just a symbol of something. It is for the remission of sins. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. This is he, 1 John 5:6, that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood, and it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. I'm going to skip some of this because I'm going to have to go to the end. I'm going to skip this because we have to finish. So if you could stand with me. Just after Jesus had been baptized, he went back home to Capernaum. And he went into the synagogue. And God arranged it that they handed him the scroll of the book of Isaiah. A few years ago, we were privileged when they had the Dead Sea Scrolls exhibit here to go down to the museum and actually get to see a scroll, the real scroll from the Dead Sea of the book of Isaiah. Don't know if that's the one he read from, but anyway, they gave him a copy and he opened it and he began to read. And he gave the reason and the meaning for the cross. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings. Aren't you glad that God is not counting this body? That's why you, I've got to reckon it dead. It's dead. You can kick a dead body. It doesn't curse you back. You know that? You can spit on a dead body. It's not going to react. God is only interested in your soul. He hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. If you've been feeling alone, if you've been feeling lost, if you've been feeling depressed, if you've been feeling like you didn't have a direction, he's speaking to you. That's why he came, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. That part is speaking to those who had died. And the opening of the prison, that's the grave, to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. This is the acceptable year of the Lord. I didn't count what day we are, but sometime in June coming up is going to be Feast of Pentecost, Shavuot. He told them, count the days. Count. Don't think you have forever. Because at such a time as he think not, that's when he's going to come. Let me tell you some of the things the meaning of the cross is about. You know, number one, my debt is paid. Any of you ever paid off a debt? You ever put the last payment on a car note? You never know how that feels when you can tear up the lien and say, hey, I don't owe nothing. My debt is paid. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. Now here's the key. To those who eagerly wait for him, he shall appear a second time. Apart from sin. You see, last time he came, he bore the sins. When he comes back, he's not carrying anybody's sins. He's dealt with sin. The other thing that he has done is salvation. I am forgiven. I am forgiven. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. The other thing the cross means, I am justified. As they say, just as if I'd never done it. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, not bulls and goats and turtle doves, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. Romans 5:9. I have been declared righteous. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. This is amazing. This is the miracle. So that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That's why God is not looking at your messes. He's looking at the spirit covering, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. And because of that, I am able to come close to God. I am able to come boldly to a throne of grace. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. There were 30 more things I could have put as the meaning of the cross. But if there's anything I'd like you to remember today, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Don't be like the people in the Old Testament who refused to look at the brazen serpent, the object of their sin. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all. If we understood what that meant by faith, and I'm way over time, we would be so happy. But it takes faith. The devil has a weapon, and he'll tell you, hath God said? Hath God said? Does he love you? You know what you have to tell him back? It is written. I will never leave you nor forsake you, and that nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. If you could bow your heads with me. Father, we thank you today. Hallelujah for filling this place with your grace, with your faith, with your word today. And we stand upon your promises. We stand upon your love. Hallelujah. We thank you today, oh God, that you are doing a work in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for your blessings and for your love and your grace. Father, we ask you to just continue to speak to us in our second service. We give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Give God a praise offering.